Hello, and welcome to show number 2437 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program covering a wide variety of topics of interest to people with vision loss. I'm Nancy Goodman Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
Well, we spoke about Top Tech Tidbits. We spoke about Access Information News. It's been great. I just wanted the opportunity to kind of talk about it, you know, let the community know that these resources exist, you know, because our reader base is growing and we want to keep it growing. And I'm very pleased to be involved with the project. I really am.
And we certainly want to make sure that our listeners were aware of these resources, because I've used them for my go-to resources for many years. And we've even gotten many show ideas from these resources.
If you're not already familiar with Top Tech Tidbits or Access Information News, you might want to learn more about these informative newsletters and websites. We'll talk with Aaron DeBlasi, Senior Project Management Professional for MindVault Solutions, about what information they each contain and how they have come to be important resources for the access-dependent community.
But first, we have some exciting news we want to share with you. In the middle of the summer, we heard that AppleViz, the go-to resource for anything Apple and being visually impaired, was going to close its doors. It turns out that there has been a remarkable turnaround, and the management and working of AppleViz has recently been turned over to Be My Eyes. So that's great, because then we have some confidence that that valuable resource will continue to exist for many years, and I hope you go there and check it out.
It's a great place to learn about all things Apple. Now, returning to this week's topic, here's our tip of the week, which comes from Aaron DeBlasi. We learned a lot of things we didn't expect to learn from our conversation with Aaron. And you may find this tip very helpful. Do you have a tip of the week?
Yes. I have a tip of the week. It's an AI tip of the week, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay. You go to your favorite AI assistant. Let's say it's ChatGPT. That's mine currently. And you want information about a topic. So the very first thing that you should do every single time that you enter ChatGPT is use the following phrase: tell me everything that you know about blank. Now, the reason that you should start every single query that way, whether that's what you want to actually know or not, is because what it does is fills the logic memory with the vector database series of queries that you're looking for. I don't mean to get overly technical on that, but it basically pulls the information into memory. Once the information is in memory, you can then begin asking questions about it. You will get much more robust and refined answers than if you just asked without asking that initial priming question.
Oh, so that can be a big time saver.
Oh, it's huge.
And make it much more efficient to get the answers you're looking for.
What it does is actually makes the answers better. If you were to just open it up and ask a question, how do I repair my sink? For instance, it's going to give you very general and sometimes hallucinated answers because the question is so general. But if you say, tell me everything that you know about fixing a sink, it pulls all of that information into that conversation, into the vector memory, and points to it. So now when you say, my sink is broken, look at this photo and tell me how to fix it, it's going to give you a much more robust answer than it normally would have because that information is present. It's called priming. So if you prime your AI model first with the question, tell me everything that you know about X, it will give you much more robust answers than you would get otherwise.
I play around with a lot of these AI tools, and I've noticed that it really makes a big difference as to how you prompt these. They talk about prompt engineering, and I can see my answers getting better and better as I'm learning how to put in better queries.
It's everything. It's right now, it's everything. I even have one more, if you'd like.
Go for it.
Sure.
Okay. Don't create prompts yourself. ChatGPT create the prompt for you. Ask it questions. Basically, you're going to tell it, you're going to create a prompt for me, and here's what I want the prompt to do. And its prompts will always be superior to any prompt that you can write, because they'll be more lengthy, they'll be more contextualized, and they'll be more thorough. So ask ChatGPT to write the prompt and then run the prompt in ChatGPT. The only trick is, don't write a prompt in ChatGPT and run it in Gemini. You can do the same trick in Gemini, just use Gemini to create the prompt and run the prompt, because they have different vector databases, so you wouldn't want to crisscross them because it'll give you some odd outputs. But it works really, really well when you use the same LLM.
Great tip. Thank you, Aaron.
Well, thank you. I hope our listeners find those useful.
I hope so, too.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
Let's start by meeting Aaron and learning about his company, Mind Vault Solutions, LLC.
My name is Aaron de Blasi. I am the senior project management professional for Mind Vault Solutions, which is a digital advertising agency that I started in 2004. I'm a computer engineer by trade, believe it or not. I segmented into journalism on my way to a job at a place like Microsoft, where I was intended to be in an office for 30 years, but instead I segged into journalism and started my career with the American Machinist and Machine Design magazines in Cleveland, Ohio, for Penton Media Magazine back in the day when they were still Penton Media. And I ran this company from 2004 until 2007. And I guess we can kind of stop there, because that's where Top Tech Tidbits begins.
What is the origin of the name Mind Vault?
Very interesting, isn't it? I had a discussion with some people back in 2004, and we were trying to understand exactly what service we were providing to clients. And the services that we were providing were essentially information we were storing for them, information that we were generating for them, information that we were creating for them. So we thought of it as a vault, you know, and we also needed a name, obviously, that was unique and that was not, you know, branded by anybody else. So we came up with Mind Vault Solutions, which are essentially what we sell, LTD.
We'll talk in detail about some of the publications that are specifically geared towards the visually impaired later on and how you got into that. But you do other things. Give us a quick summary of what Mind Vault Solutions actually does.
Certainly. We're a certified digital marketing agency. We have been since 2004. Basically, we bring businesses cutting-edge digital marketing technology on an outsourced level. So if you have no employees, if you have no money to do it, if you have no expertise in-house, you give us a call, you hire us. Basically, we become a faucet, and you turn that faucet on or off for whatever you need. And those things could be website design, email newsletter distribution, SEO, graphic design, flyers, print. You name it, anything that you can think of that has to do with marketing, we do it. But we do it on an outsourced level as you need it, basically.
And roughly how big of an organization is that?
Well, I'm the senior project management professional. So we have 7 people all over the world, and I manage these 7 people, and these 7 people in turn have client rosters of their own. So all told, Mind Vault probably serves around 70 people all over the world.
Great.
Yeah. Those would be businesses and organizations. We don't really serve people too often.
Eyes on Success connects corporate sponsors with visually impaired listeners around the world.
More information about becoming a sponsor can be found at www.sponsor.eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is the weekly newsletters Top Tech Tidbits and Access Information News, each of which is also available as a website.
Well, Aaron, in the introduction, you mentioned the name Top Tech Tidbits.
Yes, sir.
And many of our listeners should be aware of that.
I certainly hope so. And if not, I hope they will be after today.
I was going to say, if they're not familiar with it, they should be. But give us an overview of the publications of interest to people who are visually impaired that you are posting these days.
Certainly. We'll start with Top Tech Tidbits. Top Tech Tidbits was founded by a man named Dean Martineau in 2004. He basically started a small list of tidbits for the Access community, technology-based. And he would assemble them each week and send them out. And I believe he did this like via Outlook, because he very quickly ran up against a limit for people that he could send to. And obviously, he found a need in the community that you and I now know exists that he did not back then, you know, that people were really interested in this. So it grew to over 1,000 people really quickly. And he knew and spoke to a man at the time named Larry Lewis. And Larry Lewis wanted to help Dean out. So he offered to put Dean in touch with me, because I did you know, newsletters on a compliant worldwide level and asked me if there was any way that I could take Dean's database and make it compliant and get it to more than 1,000 people a week. And I did that. And we grew. We grew from 1,000 people to roughly 7,500 people in 13 years. And during those 13 years, Larry Lewis funded the publication himself. And during that time, what I learned running the publication for him was that the access community sorely needed a way to reach the community when it needed to, especially businesses and organizations, nonprofits, you know, even folks like yourself that wanted to advertise or reach people. There was no way to do so. You know, maybe because of the laws, we're not sure, you know, because if you can add a disabled audience, you can also negate disabled audience. So perhaps they prevent that, you know, simply from a legal perspective. You know, I don't know. I guess that's what makes Top Tech Tidbits probably the largest list, I would say, in the world today for reaching the access community, maybe next to Access Information News, which we'll get to in a moment. So June of 2020, Larry Lewis comes to me and says, Aaron, I can no longer fund the publication. You know, I'm going to shop it around the access community. So he does. And no one really knows what to do with it, even with the list of 7,500 people. You know, so he comes back to me and says, Aaron, what do I do? Do I trash it? Do I, you know, I can't afford to keep it going. So I went to my people at the board at MindVault and I said, guys, you know, there's an opportunity here, you know, to serve the access community and maybe do something great. You know, it's going to take a chance, obviously, because we don't know if it's going to work. But I thought that a sponsor structure would work, you know, simply because businesses and organizations could not reach the access community and the access community in turn could not reach those people. So I thought if we put something in place that allowed them to synergistically reach each other each week, they could fund each other and keep the publication going. And that seems to have worked. You know, here we are in 2024. We've got 22,000 readers per week, 23 sponsors on Top Tech Tidbits. You know, one more will be its cap. We only need 24 because they're not for profit. You know, so once they meet their cap, they just stay where they are. So we're very happy about that.
So you mentioned Larry Lewis and Dean Martineau, and we've actually spoken with each of them. And for anybody who wants to hear the early history of Top Tech Tidbits, we did shows on that a long time ago. But we will have links to that in the show notes for this episode.
Okay, great.
Were you friends with Larry and or Dean before then, or did they just come to you as a MindVault Solutions out of the blue?
That's actually a really great and interesting story. I met Larry Lewis. He got off of a bus on Mayfield Road in Cleveland, Ohio, and my Taekwondo instructor asked me to go get him. He said, we have a new student today. I didn't know Larry was blind. This is how my Taekwondo instructor liked to work. So I went out to the bus stop. I waited for this man to get off the bus, and he's completely blind, and he grabs my arm, and he says, hi, I'm Larry Lewis. And I basically trained with Larry for the next 6 years until Larry got his black belt. And he moved on to much better and greater things. And I think eventually got a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu as well. I mean, he did amazing things. But Larry and I were friends for 13 years. We lived only a couple of blocks away from each other. We would, you know, go to each other's house and watch fights. And, you know, so we did business together. That's what made him come to me when Dean came to him.
And what color belt do you have?
I have a third degree black belt in Taekwondo. I trained with Grandmaster Muhan Kim for almost 19 years to attain that, and then he retired. So I retired when he retired.
So you've taken this effort on, and you seem to have a great passion for it.
I do.
Have you had any interactions with people who are visually impaired or disabled in the past, or is this just something you got fell into?
Well, both. I have had interactions with people in the past, but I did kind of fall into it. I mean, in the sense that for the 13 years that I ran the publication for Larry, and I can even say this on the podcast, it's okay. I mean, Larry didn't speak to these people often. I did, you know, so I understood their concerns. I understood what they wanted and what they needed and what they weren't getting, you know, and just at the time, Larry was burnt out and I don't blame him. You know, it was 13 years he funded this publication. It was very expensive. You know, and a lot of the community, as you know, sometimes is not very nice, you know, and that kind of adds to it. You know, so he was a little despondent at the time.
So we talked a lot about Top Tech Tidbits, but we really haven't talked about what it is and what's in it and why it's important to people like myself.
Well, it's very important to people like yourself, I think, and I'm glad I'm talking to you specifically, because there are no other publications that address these issues in the way that we do consistently every single week.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, much of what I learn about my assistive technology, it's when I network with people on the web through these forums or through these communication methods.
That's what I learned too. And that's what I learned from 13 years of speaking with readers, going back and forth saying, Aaron, this is what we need. No, Aaron, this is what we need. And we would, you know, we would take it up. You know, that's how we got events in there. And that's how we eventually got directories put together. And people wanted, you know, specific directories for things so they could quickly go look, you know, a newly blind person. For instance, you know, they've never been blind before and they don't know where to start. You know, are there guides? Are there places that I should start? What technology do I use? How do I choose? Questions like that. So we would do our best to try to gear the editorial towards answering those kinds of questions for people on a weekly basis. You know, again, keeping this information fresh.
So basically, you're scouring these information sources and every week you come out with a list categorized in different sections.
Actually, the way it works is every single tidbit that we put out is voted on by three people, myself, John Hanlon, who's an attorney, and Jenna Lang, who's an advocate for the United States government. So all three of us, we just have a remote bin. It's called the Bits Bin. You know, we use AI and all types of other things to aggregate news that goes into that bin. And then we just all day long vote them up and down. And it takes two out of three of us to get them published. You know, and basically, we're just looking for information that informs the access community and not just blind people, which is where Dean started out. You know, I mean, and that was kind of his focus, was blind and low vision at the time. But there's so many deaf people out there. There are so many people with mobility impairments. There's so many people that need prosthetics that aren't getting them the way that they want them. And they want to speak about it. You know, so the publication has kind of grown to encompass a greater range of disabilities than it ever started out with.
And it's also grown to include different categories besides just informational. You have a category of surveys and podcasts. And can you review what categories you have?
Yeah, sure. Well, obviously we have the news. And then after the news, we have the featured events, which have, we're trying with the featured events only because they take a lot of time. You know, so we've kind of pulled back on that a little bit to do the news a little better. But we've got featured events. We've got a list of directories, which readers have asked us to put together. Those include podcast, listserv, YouTube directory, and all of these are access specific or blind and low vision specific, specifically, so to speak. And then at the end, we have classified advertisements, which are our sponsors. Now, normally people say, oh, advertisements, oh my God. But actually, people find them very useful. They find promotions. They find discounts on way around tags. They find discounts on ARIA promotions. You know, it's kind of a decent place to shop now, so to speak, and informative and great for the sponsors and great for the readers. So, and that's the last section. You know, after that is just a little bit about us, the editorial team, what we do, you know, and how to sign up for the publication.
One category you didn't mention that you always have at the top is the five items from last week that got the most clicks.
Yes.
And, you know, for anybody who finds the Top Tech Tidbits overwhelming, because at this point there are dozens of items in there.
There are, yeah, maybe more than dozens, yeah. And you know what else I think makes it unique is its statistics, right? I mean, it gives you a view of what's important to the community at a glance. You know, just what five things last week did the community click on the most? So this is what they're thinking about. And I just think that that's powerful. You know, we do that in a couple of our other newsletters as well. It's just five items just to see what the community did on a weekly basis, I think is a great feedback tool.
And not only is it informative to me in terms of learning about new access technologies or even using the ones that I have in a better manner, but we often get show ideas from there and interviews with people.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear it. The networking, Pete, is incredible. You know, I'd say I spend probably a good hour a day on LinkedIn, you know, just talking to people that, you know, sometimes it's just readers. Aaron, where do I go? You know, I'm losing my vision. I'm this, I'm that. You know, I'm an Apple user, or I'm an Android user, or I don't want to use an Apple or an Android. You know, Aaron, what do I do? You know, like I'm qualified necessarily to answer that, but I do my best to do so. You know, and over 13 years, having answered the question so many times, we've gotten pretty good at it. You know, so we point people in that direction, a lot like Apple VisU, but only for Apple people. You know, we can do the same for Android or for somebody that only wants to use a Perkins Brailler or, you know, you name it.
And it's great that you found a way of monetizing such a service, because that's not easy to reach a number of blind people around the world and keep it going. Most of these are volunteer efforts, but with the way you've managed to monetize it, it's probable that it will go on for a very long time and sustain itself.
I certainly hope so. And Pete, thank you for saying so. I'm very proud of that. Yeah, I wasn't sure that on in the beginning, everyone said Top Tech Tidbits can't be saved. Aaron, let it go. And I didn't think so. And I thought there was a way to save it. And it just worked out so wonderfully. I'm very proud of it.
So Top Tech Tidbits grew and grew and grew and eventually became so large that you had to move to another publication. Maybe we can talk about that.
I guess to seg into, you know, publication number two, Top Tech Tidbits, in fact, did so well that in November of 2022, we met our international character limit. Every newsletter has a character limit in particular countries because that's a spam limit for them. So if you pass a certain number of characters, they just automatically label you as spam. So there's no point in sending your newsletter. So we had reached that limit and we were fighting every week to send out the amount of information that we were. So we decided to split off the newsletter into a new newsletter. And at the time, that section was called Access Information News. And the basic difference is that Top Tech Tidbits is focused on access technology, very specifically. But there's a broad category of other access information that people want to know. For instance, legal information, medical breakthroughs, op-eds, you know, people complaining about a certain thing. This QR code doesn't work. This self-serve kiosk doesn't work, you know, and those things were kind of starting to clog up the technology. And people were saying, Aaron, Top Tech Tidbits is getting away from its original mission, access technology. That's what we come here for. Please don't give us those op-eds. You know, please don't give us that legal and medical information. So we decided to, you know, spin it off into Access Information News. And now it's its own newsletter. It goes out every Monday morning, whereas Tidbits goes out every Thursday morning to give people a few days to, you know, soak up the Access Information News before they go on to kind of the advocacy and the op-eds and kind of what's going on in the community. It's kind of a pulse of the community type of newsletter. It's what it's turned into.
You mentioned the character limits allowed by spam, and I thought one thing that was special about your publication is that all of the content is in the email. I get so many emails where you have to click on a link and go to a website, and I see that as sort of a disincentive. And I wonder if you'd talk a little bit about that trade-off.
You know what, believe it or not, we've gone back and forth. The reason that all of that information is inside of the email, as you have mentioned, is a direct result of a request from the access community itself. Because a lot of people, especially with assistive technology, read that information directly in their email client. In the marketing world, in the mainstream marketing world, kind of the opposite is true. You have to always include a link to that newsletter on the web because the vast majority of people, for some reason, just statistics say so, they will click on that link and read it on the web. They prefer to, as opposed to reading it in their web browser. But in the access community, there's still a very high preference to read all of the content inside the newsletter. So we keep it inside the newsletter, but we give both versions. So you can read the entire thing inside the newsletter, or as you know, at the top of every newsletter, you can click a link to read it online. Some people prefer to. For instance, there's an issue right now with VoiceOver and the way that VoiceOver on an iPhone is reading the Top Tech Tidbits newsletter. There's nothing wrong with the way we have it coded, but it's reading it wrong. So until they update VoiceOver, someone may want to access it in a different way. So they'd read it online, maybe to initiate a different screen reader or, you know, some other way of reading it.
It's tough to keep track of all these changes in operating systems and programs and keep the screen readers up to date with all of that. So I feel your pain there.
It is. No, it is. Yeah, it sure is. It is. And we just do our best to inform people. You know, they email us probably 2-3 times a day with the VoiceOver issue. And we'll be so happy when Apple updates VoiceOver because it's currently not rendering HTML properly.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, we spoke about Top Tech Tidbits. We spoke about Access Information News. I'm thrilled with it, guys. Honestly, I really appreciate it. It's been great. I just wanted the opportunity to kind of talk about it, you know, let the community know that these resources exist. You know, because our reader base is growing and we want to keep it growing. And I'm very pleased to be involved with the project. I really am.
Well, and as we've said over and over, you've done a great job with this over the years. And it's amazing to see how it's grown.
Thanks, Pete.
I remember when Dean Martineau first started Top Tech Tidbits, it was like 10 or 15 hints.
Yes.
And it grew and grew and grew. And now there's like 100.
Yes, roughly. Yeah. Yeah, and then it was 50, and then 100, and then 500, and then 1,000, and yeah. And that's when he ran into issues because you can't send it. You know, you get spammed, you know, so you have to get compliant, and he did, you know. So I'm very thankful to him. It's a wonderful resource that has continued in the community. Yeah, running the site is a whole different endeavor, Pete. I'm sure you guys know. You know, you run a podcast. You can only imagine what it's like running an entire site full of people and people yelling at you every day. And, you know, yeah, that's why we've never done a forum. People have asked me for a very long time for Top Tech Tidbits, Aaron, will you do a Facebook group? It's just moderation. Moderation is what kills you. We don't have the time for it.
Yeah,
you know, just we don't have the time for it.
Well, I thank you for what you do, and Top Tech Tidbits and your Access Information News are excellent ways to keep up with new technologies, what's new in accessibility, et cetera. And I'm glad to know that you've found a model that will keep it going for a long time.
So are we, Pete. Thank you for saying so. Really appreciate it.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about Top Tech Tidbits and Access Information News and MindFault Solutions, how to subscribe to the newsletters, and how to contact Aaron de Blasi.
Well, Aaron, if people want to know more about MindVault Solutions or Top Tech Tidbits, Access Information News, etc., why don't you tell them how they can do that?
Sure. For MindVault, you can visit mvsltd.com. For Top Tech Tidbits, you can visit toptechtidbits.com. Very easy. And for Access Information News, same thing, accessinformationnews.com.
And those subscriptions are free. People just need to sign up and put their email address in there, right?
Yes, that is absolutely correct. The only people that pay are sponsors. If you're interested in sponsorships or reaching these audiences each week, we have a lot of information for you there. If you just want to reach the audiences one time with an advertisement, we have options for you there as well.
And people can sign up for either of these newsletters by going to the websites that you just gave us.
That is correct, yes. And that both newsletters are free and fully accessible. If you have any issues with CAPTCHA, just reach out to me. My email address, an easy one to remember, is publisher@toptechtidbits.com or publisher@accessinformationnews. You can reach me at either one of those.
So given what you just said about not wanting to have a forum to moderate, do you have a social media presence?
Oh, yes, absolutely. We're on every single social media channel, including Mastodon, which I think is probably the most important to the Access community right now. You'll find all of those buttons at the bottom of our website, Facebook, X, Mastodon, YouTube, etc. We're there.
And as usual, in case you missed any of that information in the audio, you can just activate the show notes for this episode, which is 2437 at www.eyesonsuccess.net.
That's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about ending rideshare discrimination against passengers with guide dogs. Rideshare drivers often deny service to passengers with guide dogs, despite company policies and laws that protect them. We'll talk with Amy Salger, alumni engagement manager at Guide Dogs for the Blind, and board member Melba Velas-Ortiz about a survey conducted by Guide Dogs for the Blind, which highlighted the alarming rise in discrimination and the fight for accessible transportation.
Well, thanks for joining us this week, and we hope you'll join us for next week's episode.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening, and have a nice day.